Now, it's an exciting passage. Get particularly excited if you're a Philip here. But whilst the gospel has nearly gone throughout our globe, this particular story recounts how it came first of all to the part of Africa. Thank you very much.
This morning's New Testament reading is taken from Acts, chapter 8. Starting at verse 26, and this can be found on page 1101 of the Pew Bibles. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah in the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, Go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come and sit with him.
The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus, what can we give? What can we bring? Lord, thank you that you welcome us. Thank you that you call us to participate in the coming of your kingdom. So, Lord, as I speak, may we have open ears and hearts to hear what you have to say, your unique word for each of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are looking at Acts this morning, and this is a very important time in the story of Acts. In chapter 7, the previous chapter, Stephen has been martyred, and Saul is there. Now we know Saul is a persecutor of Christians before he met Jesus, and Saul is there actually approving of his execution. And as a result, we read in Acts 8 of a persecution. And so people were scattered. They were sent all around preaching the word. And he said everyone, but actually not to the apostles. It was ordinary people proclaiming the good news. And I think every Christian is asked to do that. Maybe not from a pulpit, but every Christian is actually called to go about heralding the good news. And so Philip was one of those. Philip goes into Samaria and he preaches, and there is nothing short of a revival. Then he gets a word from God in verse 26, saying that actually he should go from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, that's just not hopping in a car and travelling 2 miles down a road. That's about 60 miles. Leaving comfort, leaving a revival, leaving where perhaps we feel safe, and travelling in the hot and humid desert for 60 miles. He's not told what he's going to do or what he's going to say. He is simply told to go. Perhaps half the job in spreading the good news is simply showing up, being available. The other half is opening up. Philip showed up and he opened up. God opened his heart and he believed. And Philip is told to go, and so he goes. No questions asked. He goes where God is. And that's a real challenge for me reading that, going where God tells you to go. I don't know about you, but if God tells me to go 60 miles through a desert, I would feel most uncomfortable. And so in verse 27, we meet an Ethiopian. He's a eunuch. He's an official. He's taking care of the queen. And a eunuch is quite significant in this context, because they couldn't enter the inner courts of the temple. So he couldn't get access to worship. So he's reading one of the Old Testament scrolls in Isaiah 53. And we're not sure, it doesn't say in the Bible how he got a copy of those scrolls. But he's reading. Perhaps he's looking for something more. Perhaps he's looking for something he can enter into. And so as he's reading, Philip approaches him and he asks him a question. Do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch responds, how can I possibly understand this book without somebody to explain it? We all need access to a Bible, and we all need someone to explain it. Someone to reveal the truths of Jesus to us. And the eunuch has another question. What is this prophet talking about? Who is this prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about somebody else? And in verse 35, Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. And so when the eunuch hears the good news about Jesus, when he discovers Jesus for himself, when he shows up and when he opens up, he wants to be baptized. And actually, practically, it was very important for this eunuch to be baptized, because at that present moment in time, there were no converts to the faith in Africa. So Philip baptized the eunuch. And I think, isn't it wonderful how God reorientates our lives? How God orchestrates meetings for people? I think there is no coincidences when we are part of God's people. And this meeting is actually rather similar to Jesus on the road to Emmaus. He meets the disciples. The disciples didn't understand fully all of Scripture, so Jesus had to reveal things. He opened up the Scripture. And so Philip here is actually continuing the ministry of Jesus, for which, aren't we? We are also continuing the ministry of Jesus. We are opening up the Bible, literally, spiritually, through our lives, to the people we meet on the road, in the school gates, in Sainsbury's, on the football pitch. Pointing people to Jesus from the Bible. And we can do that, can't we? We know we can do that in a multitude of ways. But perhaps one of the main ways that we can do it is through our lives. Through us as individuals, in the way we live, in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we express our faith. And one of my favourite passages from the Bible is in 2 Corinthians 3. And this is the Message version, but I think it's wonderful. And it says this: your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit. Not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives. And we publish it. We're publishing God's living spirit working in us. And so Philip, in his ministry, demonstrates a great heart for people. But Philip's concern in this situation is for the one individual. I'm sure we've all met or come across in our lives individuals who are great in front of people, but they don't give a stuff about the one. They don't give a stuff about a person. Those who are effective at reaching the many are concerned with reaching the one. Those who are effective with reaching the many are concerned with reaching the one. And we see it in Acts 3 at Pentecost, where Peter preaches and 3,000 people are saved. And then just a few chapters on, a few verses on, we read that there's a lame beggar that was cared for. And the Bible reminds us that there is great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. So how can we grow in our love for people? Philip understood the gospel. That's primarily how we start. We were unlovable, and God came in his mercy and loved us. All of us at some point in our lives have been this Ethiopian. And somebody opened up the Bible in many different ways. And we believed. When the gospel works deep in our hearts, we gladly love all sorts of people. The other way that we grow in love is being led by the Spirit. I think this story really does illustrate the work of the Spirit. Philip was led by the Spirit to this one individual. The church is made up of a multitude of Philips, ordinary people like me and you, being led and being obedient to the Spirit. And I think there are lots of excuses that Philip could have used. Not now, Lord. We'll go to the desert later. Or not me, Lord. Send somebody else. Or not there, Lord. Anywhere. Anywhere but there. But we know that God's ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And so we should be prepared and expectant for God to lead us to people and places, because we worship a living God. Aslan is on the move. And so actually one of the ways that God uses us is being led to people and places. It's important to believe and trust that the Spirit is at work in the people of God. And so, friends, today is Hospitality Sunday. People being inspired by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit to open up their homes or to visit a home and be the recipient of hospitality. And I think, as Mark said, it's very important that we are both those people. We are people that give, we are people that open up our homes, but then also we are people that receive. And I think we should try and keep that, if we can, balance. people that give, but then people that are also prepared to receive. And so it's very important, isn't it, to offer hospitality in a multitude of ways. And I know, and I've received hospitality from lots of you here. And I just love this quote by Henri Nguyen, which I think captures the heart of hospitality perfectly. And he says this: hospitality means primarily the creation of free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. It's not to bring men and women over to our side, but to offer freedom, not disturbed by dividing lines. I think that's a really important thing to remember. It's not necessarily to change people, but to offer a space where a stranger can become a friend instead of an enemy. And so for this Hospitality Sunday, my prayer would be that perhaps change could take place, maybe not in the immediacy, but maybe through time, through our working, through us being led by the Spirit, or being expectant to be led by the Spirit, to offer space free from dividing lines, a free space where change can take place. So friends, like Philip, be expectant, be open, love people, and in that way, people can see Christ living in us. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that in this part of the world we have such free and easy access to your word. Lord, thank you for the vast array of people who have opened the Bible to us, Lord, and have revealed your truths to us. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. Lord, we pray that we will continue to be attuned to the voice of your Spirit, to be expectant and prepared to see you at work. And Lord, may we be a people where we show up and open up and go where you call us to go. In Jesus' name, amen. We now come to sing again. And